I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shooting News, Nishtha Vinisht. Welcome.
Thank you.
And congratulations on winning The Floor Is Yours on Sunday afternoon.
Thank you for having me here.
Well, it's really quite a thrill to have you here. We've also got Anne Allen from Sir Optimists International Western Australia. Welcome, Anne.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And before we come back to Nishtha, it must have been a thrill for Sir Optimists International to have a big turn up at Notre Dame here in Fremantle for the five final speeches.
Absolutely. It was absolutely brilliant. And each one of those speakers didn't, in fact, make the floor theirs. They took our attention for the full 6 minutes that they spoke, and we were enraptured by their thoughts. Thank you.
Nishtha, this is all about you. I have to confess straight off, I haven't seen the cultural phenomenon that is Barbie the movie. But I've invited Gene Hudson, who writes a lot for the Shipping News, and has seen the movie, perhaps not as many times as you have, because I thought I'd better have some people who have really seen this movie can fire other questions at you about it. But as I say, congratulations. You had to come through the heats, you won, then you finished up with four others, five of you in the finals, and you obviously, from what Anne just said, wowed everybody out. Tell our listeners a little bit about the topics you had to choose from initially, why you chose the Barbie topic and exactly what the title of that topic was, and then we'll talk a little bit more about your take on it.
Thank you. Initially for the first heat, I think there were, by memory, four or five topics. They were all centred around women and feminism and the role of women in society. And I think I resonated the most with the Barbie one because, first of all, it's a fun topic, it was a fun movie. And I think, secondly, we all tend to overlook the significance of movies and media and how much they impact our lives. Even though you haven't seen the movie, I'm sure you've heard of it.
I certainly have.
You've seen the posters of it. And even without seeing it, you know what Barbie is. Yeah, the popular doll that's been in everyone's lives in some way or another. So I think we all overlook the influence that things like that have on us and the way we look at our society and the way we interact with women in our society. So I think that's why I wanted to speak about it, because it's a lot more influential than people think, and it shapes our views a lot more than people think, because especially in our age now where everything, most of the information we get is consumed from media, I think it's really important to talk about the impact that actually has on our views of the world.
I tend to recall that when my daughter, who's a bit older than you are now, was thinking about dolls. She wanted a Cabbage Patch doll and eventually got that over her parents' protestations, but I don't know that she ever had a Barbie doll. And I can remember thinking this thing is very American. It's very white. Barbie's very very cheesy sort of characters. Did they evolve in the meantime, or did they turn into something different in the movie?
I think the movie is very what portrays the most traditional doll, which is the stereotypical Barbie and the stereotypical Ken, which are the original dolls. And I think even though Barbie as a brand has evolved over time, and now they have a lot more different coloured dolls, ethnicities, body shapes, but I think it's important to still remember the significance of the original doll, because I think a lot of people still, when we think about the Barbie, we think about the stereotypical blonde doll. And that's the doll I had when I was growing up as well. I think there's a lot to be taken away from the significance of the original doll.
I'm absolutely fascinated by the cultural phenomenon aspect of this. So you have a Barbie doll, traditional Barbie doll, when you're younger. This movie comes along, and I'm guessing it's sort of changed perceptions about Barbie, Ken and their friends. So why did kids, and I'm assuming predominantly girls, want to have a Barbie doll back then, before the movie?
I think it was one of those things that we didn't think about, and that's the beauty of the movie, is I don't think I ever thought about this doll that had a role in my childhood, in my life, and how it impacted me at all. But in the movie, I guess Barbie the doll just represents women in general, even though it's in the movie, this contrasted with Barbie Land, which is the doll world, where it's run by all the Barbies, which is representing basically women, and the real world, which is run by men. Basically, they use this doll to symbolize all the women of the world, essentially. So I think it's interesting because I never thought about a doll having that much significance about how I look at women in the world, and how just a doll that represents women can actually mean so much, in the sense that it can influence the way you look at yourself as a woman and other people as a woman while growing up, and not even realizing that this doll had a hand in impacting that.
So does that mean it's when you see the Barbie figure and others that you just see women in the movie, in that sense, is what, colorblind and not conscious so much about people's social positions and the like?
Well, I guess it's more that... the movie can't really be perfect, but I think it does have... It starts a conversation about being more aware of things that impact you, especially like how you grow up with... let me start again. I think the movie is not perfect in the sense that it doesn't explore everything that needs to be explored, but it starts the conversation about what the role of women has been in society for so long. And I think the significance of using that doll is that you've always had this figure in your life and never correlated the relevance of that figure, that doll, and how it's impacted how you interact with women. I'll just give an example. I mentioned in my speech how the Barbie doll and that image of that perfect figure of the doll has impacted the way girls have seen themselves and their bodies growing up. And I think it's interesting because a lot of girls don't really realize how they've been influenced by that. Like, I've also been influenced by, you know, wanting to look a certain way because of how media portrays certain women in the in media, and Barbie is just another figure that is like perpetrates those same ideals and has perpetrated those ideals since a very young age, but I never understood that until it was pointed out to me, if that makes sense.
Well it does. In your speech, can you tell us what sort of the main points you tried to draw out were?
My topic was whether Barbie has been consolidated as a feminist icon after the Barbie movie. And I guess my speech explored the two very opposing messages that Barbie as a figure has given to society. On one hand, she is portrayed in the movie, and as well as how she's advertised as a doll, to be like a symbol of empowerment for women, to show that, you know, women can be anything they want to be. They can be wealthy, they can be independent, just like the doll. The doll has many different professions. You can buy a nurse Barbie, you can buy a pilot Barbie. So in one sense, the doll represents that women can be anything that they want to be and can achieve anything they want to. But at the same time, the doll is also, like I said, perpetrates ideals on women to look a certain way, which is very much driven by the male gaze and how the patriarchal ideals of what women should look like. So it's just exploring how this one doll can have such a positive message and such a negative message at the same time, and whether that can really mean that she is a feminist icon. In the end, I came to the conclusion that she's a feminist icon because she represents women in a very real way, in the sense that when you are a woman, you also struggle to be feminist yourself because you're also impacted by the patriarchal ideals that are around you. It's really hard to be, I guess, for women yourself when society has always told you that you shouldn't be, like, you should look at the world through a man's view, if that makes sense.
Well, which begs the question for me, not having seen the movie, how do the blokes, how do the men, how do the young men come out of this movie? Do they get destroyed by the patriarchy as well?
Well, the plot of the movie, in very short few sentences, is basically that there's a Barbie land where the women basically run everything, and Ken is just kind of exists for Barbie. Ken doesn't have his own identity outside of Barbie. Barbies rule the whole Barbie land, which is obviously meaning that women in that world rule the whole Barbie land. And then Barbie makes a journey to the real world because there's an opening in a portal or something. She makes a journey to the real world, and she discovers that obviously things are flipped in the real world, where the men rule the real world and women are not as, you know, powerful as they are in the Barbie land. So when Ken goes with Barbie, he realizes that he likes this a lot because he's got a lot of importance in the real world and he can do whatever he wants. So when they go back to Barbie land, Ken brings back the patriarchy with him and then basically wreaks havoc in Barbie land, where all the Kens start overpowering all the Barbies and take all the positions of power. And then in the end, basically, they recognize that neither systems are good and neither systems are ideal, and that both Ken and Barbie need their own place in the world, which is saying that they both need equality and have need to have separate identities of their own. So in a nutshell, that's what the movie is.
So did you enjoy preparing the speech, you know, so far as its content's concerned, and then delivering it?
Preparing the speech, I was very conflicted on where I stood, to be honest. Like I said, deciding whether Barbie was a feminist icon or not was confusing because the doll means and perpetrates different things in society. So it's hard to decide, oh, this is what she is, this is what she stands for, because has a lot of negative things and also a lot of positive things. So I think it was hard to navigate what I actually thought about the issue. But I guess at the end I realized that is the issue. It's not perfect, it's not simple, because in the real world, equality is not simple. And it's not as simple. It's not simple in the movie either. So that's what was hard, but I did enjoy delivering it a lot. I think it was just good because I was really passionate about what I wanted to say, which made it easier to deliver it to so many people because I just wanted them to hear what I had to say.
Now, you're a student at Notre Dame here in Fremantle.
Yes.
And what are you studying?
I'm doing a double degree, so I'm doing a Bachelor of Law and a Bachelor of Arts as well.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. And have you done a lot of public speaking, or is this one of the first major opportunities?
Not in this way where I've given like a speech, but I have. I was in like the drama program in high school, so I used to do like performances. So that's kind of the public speaking I've done. I have also like emceed a few like cultural events for my cultural community. So that's the extent of the public speaking I've done.
Well, you're obviously very confident, and I'm assuming that the judges were pretty impressed.
I think, hearing your drama experience, the comments that the judges made absolutely make sense. The things they were saying was that you were very natural, that you brought a fresh perspective to the question, so you obviously gave it a great deal of thought, which we can hear from what you've said now. You used your body language in an expressive and meaningful way, and the most impressive part was there were no notes. So she spoke about her topic, and you were able to use the stage and grab your audience by your body language as well as what you had to say. So it was really impressive, very impressive.
Well, sounds amazing. Now, I'm really impressed with the 6-minute thing. I think 6 minutes seems to become the natural or the required public speaking period. Do you have to plant your feet firmly on the ground and not move? Do you use gestures a lot? And how do you use 6 minutes?
Well, I actually really planned out my movements before I did the speech. I said, on this word, I'm going to move to the right of the stage. Mm-hmm. And then on this word, I'm going to move to the left of the stage, because I wanted to be dynamic. I didn't want to just stay in one spot in the center. And also, I think I love talking with my friends. I'm very expressive when I talk to my friends. So I just thought about what I would be telling my friends when I'm sitting and having a conversation about something I'm passionate about. And I kind of just imagined that the audience was my friends, and I just said, oh, listen to this, listen to that I have to say. So that made it easier to have the open body language and be more dynamic with the audience.
Well, how did you come across the Soroptimists public speaking event?
Actually, I don't think anyone knows this, but I got a scholarship from Soroptimist International when I was in primary school for my first year of tuition in high school, and that's the first time I had actually heard about the organisation. And when I came to uni, I heard about them and I wanted to join, but I think I don't know why I didn't. But I've always liked the message of the organisation, and when I saw this opportunity and saw that it was organised by the Soroptimist International, I just wanted to be part of it because I feel like they supported me when I was a lot younger in my journey, a lot before. So I just wanted to be part of this because, yeah, I feel connected to the organisation because I did feel like it was, yeah, like some people that had supported me very early on in my career.
And Soroptimists are about empowering women, aren't they? And this
yes.
particular event's been about having young women particularly think about their empowerment.
Yeah, we started the competition with the idea that we were giving young women, or women enrolled in tertiary institutions, an opportunity to practice their speaking. And I think a lot has happened since we started. We started this in 2018, and since then we've had COVID and lots of things have gone online. And I was recently asked, you know, why can't we just record our speech and let everyone have a look at a pre-recorded speech? But we're really keen to actually keep that face-to-face real interaction happening. So we've kept it as a physical competition where you have to come and stand in front of a live audience and present. And I think it's one of those opportunities that often students don't get. They're so busy preparing slides and presenting PowerPoints. There is none of that. It's really the voice and your body that tells the story.
Jean, you've seen the movie,
mm-hmm.
and you're older.
I am. Than I never had a Barbie doll.
Does what Nishtha says about the patriarchy and all of that ring true with an older feminist?
I was really, really delighted to hear how you described how young women can still be glamorous and beautiful and, you know, hold all these amazing roles. And I guess I was very anti-Barbie dolls, I must say, when I had my daughter. She never had any Barbie dolls. And I did see the movie, and for me it just sort of flipped all societal norms and everything, and I was quite confused when I came out of it. But then when I spoke to my daughter, she had a similar sort of reaction to what you had, which was very different to what I had, because I would consider myself to be a feminist. And for me to think of Barbie as a feminist... But now I will watch it again. I love the end of it when she went into the real world and just realised what a patriarchal world that we do live in, and we do.
Yeah.
And, I'm very for equality, and I do think there's a lot of glass ceilings for women, both with age and with just being a woman. So, you know, it's a fascinating movie, and I think it's good that it has brought this so publicly, you know, to young people, because it's hugely popular.
Have you sort of come out of the whole experience thinking that you want to go out there and smash a few glass ceilings, or are there other things that it's motivated you to do?
It has. I think I think it's really changed the way I think about a lot of things. Like you said, with being against Barbie, so was I for a while. And when I first watched the movie, I was like, what is this? I think they really simplified what feminism is into this pink, fun little movie, which benefits men at the end of the day, because Mattel is owned by a whole bunch of just men. And I didn't really think it was that significant of a movie, but I think when I really sat down and thought about it, you know, you just think about Barbie, this doll, which is meant to represent women, facing all this criticism about not being good enough at being a feminist, not being good enough at this, not, you know, being too perfect that, you know, women will look at themselves badly, or not being enough of a good influence. And I think I just sat down and thought, you know, Ken never gets this criticism. Nobody sits there and goes, Ken looks so perfect, impacts little boys' body images, because we don't think about Ken that way, because we don't expect Ken to meet some ideal. And it really represents the role of women in society, because we expect women to always meet some mark or hit some ideal, but we don't expect the same things from men. And I think that was like the first thing, most important thing I realized out of this, is that it's a doll, but it really reflects a lot of what society thinks about women, because this doll is, again, at the end of the day, a woman. Yeah.
Well, Nishtha, it's really great that you had the topic, that you chose it. Sounds like it really got you thinking, as well as starting conversations with others. And I think it's fabulous that you're studying law and arts, and hopefully finish up in the legal profession and be able to apply what you've learned on the legal profession, where there are a lot of men, but a growing number of women. What lies ahead for you? Do you have other ambitions in terms of theatre and perhaps public speaking, as well as your studies in law?
Not theatre anymore, I don't think. I think I've left that one behind. But public speaking, definitely. I want to end up being a barrister, who is basically the person who presents cases in court. So I think the public speaking aspect of that has helped me a lot with that. And yeah.
Well, I think you're going to have a fantastic career, and congratulations again.
Thank you so
on
much.
Winning the grand final.
Thank you.